アメン。In a few days' time, it will be New Year. Anna and I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a blessed New Year. I want to thank you for your fellowship and warm regards. While I'm speaking now, I believe Daniel and Hui Ning have arrived safely back in Singapore. They are blessed by your fellowship and appreciate your kind thoughts. If you should be coming to Singapore, please remember to give us a call, or you can email me. All you have to do is go into the internet, look for New Life Singapore. The name is exactly the same, all right? But look for the one in Singapore, and you will see the contact number there. My cell phone is also listed. If you go to the newsline, you'll see the pastor's contact number, both in the church and our personal mobile numbers are recorded there. There's a poem that I like to read every New Year. It is a poem about a teacher and a student. And then the second verse of the poem tells us about the Christian and the Lord. Let me read the poem to you. It's entitled, The New Leaf. He came to my table with quavering lip. The lesson was done. Dear teacher, I want a new leaf, he said. I spoiled this one. I took the old leaf, stained and blotted, and gave him a new one, all unspotted. And into his sad eyes, smiled. Do better now, my child. Verse 2. I went to the throne with a quavering soul. The year was gone. Dear Father, hast thou a new leaf for me? I spoiled this one. He took the old leaf, stained and blotted, and into my sad heart smiled. Do better now, my child. I trust you have understood this poem. Every New Year, God gives us a clean sheet. A clean sheet of paper, probably. We write on it, and through the days, weeks and months, we somehow have stained it. And the stain gets worse sometimes. And we come into the new year, we ask him for a new leaf. He took the old one away, and then he said into our sad heart with a smile, do better now, my child. What is our year like in 2012? Well, many of us went through the year quite peacefully, quite uneventfully. Some of us are tried, tested. Some of us may be down with some kind of illness. However our year may be, the Lord has seen us through, isn't it? We are now on the second last day of the year, and we are here. I hope you can lift up your hearts and praise God. Praise Him forevermore. The poem is written by someone, and his name is anonymous. But I think this is a good poem for the new year. May God bless you. Peter wrote to the Christians who were scattered throughout Asia Minor because of persecution. The persecution had brought great sufferings to the believers. In spite of this hardship, the Christians remained faithful to God and His Word and persevered in their testimony before the pagan and hostile society. These faithful believers reminds me of the Christians in China. Now you have to pardon me because I've been using a lot of example of the Christians in China. Simply because I go there once a year. China has always been hostile to Christian missionaries. In the 19th century, many Western missionaries wanted to go to China. The work of pioneer missionaries to China like Robert Morrison and Hudson Taylor had inspired many to enter China. But the second half of the century was particularly hard for Western missionary to go into China. The two opium wars from 1839 to 1842 and from 1856 to 1860 respectively had created a strain in relationship between the Chinese and the English. As a result, many prospective missionaries moved southwards towards the Far East, like Singapore and Malaysia. The 20th century proved even harder for preachers to go into China. The country embraced communism in 1949 and the Cultural Revolution in 1966 to 1967 brought even greater hardship to the Christians there. Many pastors were interned. Many more died because of the persecution. Ironically, it was during this most difficult period of the Christian history in China that the church thrived. The house churches were growing in numbers. One year I was invited to a city in the northeastern part of China to speak to the university student. I was prepared to meet probably a group of 50 or less students because this is the standard size of a house church. When the service started, there were hundreds of students. Frankly, at that point in time, I had a growing concern. It was too conspicuous to the authority. BBC News reported that the numbers of Christians in China at a conservative figure is 60 million. This number shows that there are more Chinese at church on Sunday than in the whole of Europe. A key house church leader said that there could be as many as 100 million Christians in China. Now, if I do a simple count, okay, this church leader may be right, because the group that I go to, they have 29 sectors. I don't know how they divide into sectors. But each sector, there are 50 house churches. Assuming each house has 50 members, there will be more than 10,000 Christians just in that one location. Can you imagine how big China is? Today, the church in China faces another threat: cults. The evangelistic strategy of cult groups is much the same in all places. They make converts of Christians. In other words, they win you and become their converts. To put it plainly, they sheep steal. The church we go to regularly in China has members going over to cult groups. They were lured by promises of material things and sometimes even sex. One of the most vicious cults in China is called the Eastern Lightning. The cult is known to use sex to lure people into its organization. Cult members are threatened with cruel punishment if they leave the group. There are evidences of torture, maiming, and even killing of members who have left the cult. Second Peter is written 3 years after the first epistle, that is in the year AD 66. By this time, the church was facing the threat of false teachings. The entire second chapter talks about false teachers. Please read 2 Peter chapter 2, and you will see that Peter was talking about false teachers. Now, I want you to look at just verse 1 of chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and brought upon themselves swift destruction. Apparently, the threat of false teaching was so serious that Peter had to write this second epistle. I want you to take note of the phrase, putting you in remembrance. Now this phrase is used four times in the book of 2 Peter. Now let's just look at the four verses. Look at chapter 1 verse 12. Remember, I'm saying that mark the phrase putting you in remembrance. Chapter 1 verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Then look again. Verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Then look at verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And then look at chapter 3, verse 1. This epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, turning back to chapter 1 and verse 15, Peter says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Church history tells us that not long after the writing of 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter was martyred. Somehow he had the sense that God's appointed time for him to be taken home is there. And this 2 Peter, he wrote and said many times, I want to put these things to your remembrance. I want you to remember. I'm going home to Singapore. I don't know when the Lord will take me home to glory. But I thought that since it will be my last Sunday here in this trip, And I will not say this is my last trip. I want to put you to remembrance, the Word of God. I want you to cherish it and be encouraged by it. Let me give you the first outline. What things to remember? What to remember? Look at verse 12 again. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Now look at the first part of the verse. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter did not mention the things that we are to remember. He simply says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. The question is, what are these things? Well, I believe that there are things mentioned before verse 12. So what are the things mentioned before 12? Number one, we have to remember that we are saved by grace. The first thing that Peter wants the people to know, that we are saved by grace. By grace are we saved through faith. It is not of work, lest any man should boast. Thank God for His grace. I think we must never forget God's grace. Okay? Every new morning, when you wake up from your sleep, you look at it towards the sky, it's daybreak, it's bright. Today is sunny, thank God. Okay? It's God's grace. Verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Here Peter speaks of the precious faith that comes from the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ. Indeed, our faith comes from God. It is God who gives us faith. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, because we heard the gospel, All right? And then we responded to it. I say, yes, I'll come to church. Yes, I will believe. And then we become a Christian. You know, our natural man has no desire for the things of God. It is God Himself who works in us. It is God who first draw us. Our salvation is never an accident. It is not an incidental matter. It is planned by God. It is God who came and draw us unto Himself. You know, I always think of the fall of Adam and Eve. When they fell, the Bible says they went to hide themselves. They hid behind the trees. Many of us here are Chinese. Pardon me, let me just mention the word hide in Chinese. Duo. Duo, chang de duo. If you know the word has three parts. Okay. The first part talks about the body, and then the second part talks about two persons went to hide behind the trees. You know, the Chinese knew the story of the fall of man. They hid themselves. A fallen man runs away from God. And the Bible says that it was God who came to the garden calling out for Adam and Eve. God came to seek for them. You know. So, from that day onward, men born in their fallen nature seek not God. It's God who came seeking for us, calling out to us, come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, faith comes from God. And apart from Him, we cannot have faith. When the gospel is shared to us, God works. He convicts us of our spiritual need. We are lost and we need to be saved. Faith in God is when we agree with God's statement about our condition and then we trust in Him, in His provision for our salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, I've said many a times that when we share the gospel to someone, it is necessary, imperative, that we tell him that he has sinned. Sin is the breaking of God's law. Thus, rejection of God itself is sin. Unless the person realizes he's a sinner, he cannot have a saving faith. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, why believe in Jesus Christ? The reason is, He is the Savior and He came to save us from our sin. Going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter reiterated the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Peter was reminding the believers that they are saved by grace. My brethren, we must not forget how God saved us. Secondly, we have to remember to grow in grace. Look at verses 3 to 9. But let me just read verses 5 to 7. Verses 5 to 7 says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now in these three verses, there are seven Christian graces. You can count them, virtue or moral uprightness. We have to grow in knowledge, temperance or self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Do we have these virtues in our life? If we have, then the Bible says, add on to it. Okay. Let us grow in these graces. Now the word add in Greek is a beautiful word. It is the word where we get our English word chorus. You know, we sing hymns and there's this chorus. We sing stanza 1 chorus, stanza 2 chorus. Now what Peter is trying to tell us is this, that we should be always chorusing our lives, or have our life with this chorus. That is, we have to add to it. Okay, love, brotherly kindness, and let's keep going on with it. Okay, faith, temperance, self-control. See? Let our life be in this manner. Looking back at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, the second part of the verse says, that ye know them and be established in the present truth. So Peter is telling the Christians that you know the truth, okay, and you are established in the present truth. Now what is the truth that they know and they are established in? We are saved and we are going to heaven. These are truths we know and we have taken for granted. So Peter says to the believers, though ye know them, but there's something else I want you to know, that ye must be established in this truth. Now why did Peter call the truth as present truth? He's not talking about a new truth. The word present means at this moment. Peter is asking the believers, as he is asking us now, at this moment, do we still believe in the truth? In the last days, there will be many people who will depart from the truth. The word depart means turn away from the truth. They will deny the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought them with his precious blood. So Peter is asking, do you still believe in the present truth? I think he's also saying, do you believe in a truth that never change? A truth cannot change. Something is changeable or can be altered through the process of time, then that cannot remain as a truth. So my dear brethren, we are in a Bible-believing church, a fundamental church, a reformed church. I'm sure you know the doctrine and you know it quite well. You know, I'm glad that you recite the Westminster Confession of Faith, the shorter catechism every Sunday. Right? This is to remind you of the truth that we hold to. This is to enhance our knowledge of the truth. Stay in this present truth. We are living in the end time. The next question which I want to dwell on is, why the need to remember? So before I touch on why to remember, we have to remember that we are saved by grace, that we have to grow in grace. Right? In other words, Peter is saying, don't remain in the same place. Right? You must grow. Why need to believe? Well, there are simple reasons. One, men are prone to forget. We have the tendency to forget things. We are busy with the cares of this world, and they often take our mind away from the important things in life. How often have we forgotten an appointment, a meeting, or even to take our medication? many people say, I'm so busy, I've forgotten to take my meal. I think I've heard this before. I'm busy and I've forgotten to go to church. We know this verse, and I'm glad that it was read to us in the call to worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If there is a meeting, come. Come as often as you can. And then, next thing is, exhorting one another. You know, when you come, we are able to encourage one another. Right? In so doing, we keep each other focused on our Christian race. We do not want to be distracted like the possum running after the dogs, or the dogs running after the possum. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which are stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words spoken by the prophets. Remember the commandments given to us by the apostles. So you see, Peter included the other apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And together, they are the holy, they form the holy scripture. Be mindful of the words. Do not forget the words spoken to you. I trust the messages on Sunday are to keep us in the right path, in the straight and in a narrow way. Secondly, we need to remember, because this is the job of a good leader. Now, talking about leadership, I do not have only the pastor in mind. Okay? I'm talking about every one of us who have a leadership role. Be the Sunday school teachers, members of the task force, the ladies fellowship leader. A good leader would remind his followers or her followers to always remember God and His word. Verse 12, 2 Peter chapter 1, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now the word negligent means to be careless, to make light, or to present something as unimportant. Peter is serious about what he wrote. Leaders, we must be serious in what we say. We want to remind our brethren, Christians, right, to look to God, their faith in the Word of God. Now let me say this, leaders must not draw men to themselves. Whatever we do, always point men to Jesus Christ. That's what Peter wants to do. He says, soon I will be taken away. This tabernacle of his, which means his body, would be destroyed. Right? But I want you to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he doesn't want the Christians to look to him. He is a man. He will be taken away. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is eternal, unchanging. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So cling hold to him. We do not know what the new year holds for us. Some of us may be challenged in greater ways. I always quote this song. I do not know about tomorrow. But I know who holds tomorrow. Do you know who holds your tomorrow? And trust in Him. Verse 13 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I think it meet. I think it the right thing to do. To stir you up. To arouse you. By putting you in remembrance. I hope this parting message will arouse you by way of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. A video recording shows a group of athletes in a 1,600 meter race. This kind of race is always done in a sports stadium. The competitors are to complete 4 rounds on the track. Each round is 400 meters. Once an athlete forgot that his run was in the stadium itself. After completing 1 round, he ran out of the stadium. This is a video I had seen at one time. I mean, it sounds like a joke, right? But what I'm trying to say is this, that many of us have been in the faith for some time. Some 5 years, some 10 years. Some of us are in the faith for 40 years, 50 years. You know, you have run 1 round, 2 round, and perhaps 4 round. Okay? And instead of running towards the finishing line, we run out of the stadium. We have departed from the right way. I hope together we will run this Christian race. We will end this race together when the trumpet sound, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for us. So the next thing why we should remember is time is short. The urgency of time demands that we remember the things that we have heard and learned. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had shown me. Now, I said earlier on, Peter knew that he would be taken away very soon. Right? I also believe that he knew that his death will be by cruel means. He will be crucified. He will be martyred in a sense. But he says, I want to stir up your pure mind. I want to encourage you. I want to point you to Jesus Christ. There are two clear implications for us when we make our calling and election sure. It implies that when we die, we will go to be with the Lord. The words Peter uses in verse 14 implies that a body is like a tent or a garment, and that death means we lay the garment aside for a while and we take our leave. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Absent in the body but present with God. We should all take courage as this old fleshly garment wears out. We will not go with it to corruption. Because God is going to give us a new body. The corruptible will put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says. And then God will take us back to glory. Now, some of you know that I have some good fellowship with Elder Jack Ford. You know, the earlier years when I was here, I used to walk down the road to visit him, and then I would have tea with him, and we went out for outing. All right, I went to the zoo, London Zoo, once only. And the person who brought me there was Elder Jack Ford. Okay. And then when we went to the zoo, I said, oh, the zoo in Singapore, there are more animals. And I said, oh, so sorry that I've taken you to a small zoo like the one in London. Okay. Yeah. God has taken him home in his good time. 16th of December, the year 2012. Okay. He's now absent in the body, but present with God. We know how frail he was. You know, we last visited him, I think, when he was 97 years old. A group of us went to celebrate his birthday. Yeah. He was very frail then. He cannot remember much, you know. But he's smiling and he's always joyful. He's in glory with a new body, and we will be seeing him one day. The second comforting implication of verse 14 is that the death of a believer is never accidental from God's perspective. God has his perfect timing. God has everything planned out for us. And if God has a plan for us, and God works his way and his timing, so my dear brethren, in this new year, let's commit our lives to him. Let him lead us. You know, the sad thing is many people want to lead God. We can't do that. Let him lead us. And if he's leading us in the year 2013, it shall be a blessed year. Time is short. It is urgent. We are living in the end time. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils. Before I closed this second outline to go to the last one, I want to say, be careful. There are false prophets out there who wants to deceive you. Now sometimes you ask, as a Christian, how can I protect myself from the false teachers? How do I know how to differentiate truth from error or error from truth? I hope, first of all, you are very sure and confident that we are teaching you the truth here. You have the truth. Okay. Secondly, you must be searching the scripture. Search the word of God, for therein it is written about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the truth, because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Do that. Right? We have to be responsible for our faith. And once you are very sure that you are in a Bible-believing church, then stay on in the church. Why should we be running from one church to another church? Sometimes I have people who say, oh, you know, when I go to that church, I feel blessed there. You know, I feel joyful there. I feel happier there. I feel my needs are met there. Now, the question is, the church meeting their need or the Lord meeting their need? I hope when you come to church, realize this, it is the Lord who will meet your need. Alright? We will do what we can according to the Bible to be a blessing to you. We preach the word of God to you, and after we step down from the pulpit, we want to be an encouragement to you. Alright? We want to fellowship with you. Yeah. At the end of the day, I hope you realize this, that it is God who is going to bless you. Alright? Not going to the church and say, oh, the church is a blessing to me. Okay? And then what happened one day, if you're disappointed with that church, you go to another church and you go there for the first few times and you say, I'm blessed there. And after some time, you see the trouble in the church and you yourself are in trouble and you say, no, I should go to another church. Church hopping is a serious problem in Singapore. I hope we be firm in our faith. Lastly, what are the desired outcome when we remember these things? Number, look at verse 15 and 16 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised favors when we have made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were witnesses of his majesty. Now there are 2 points here. Number one, this epistle is the last testament of the Apostle Peter. His bequest to the church is not money, but a reminder of Christ's power and his glorious second coming. I want to say this to all parents. Okay. Well, if you do have inheritance for the children, that is well and good. But I think, more importantly, leave behind a spiritual inheritance. Right? This is the only thing that will guarantee our children growing up living in this wicked world doing the right thing. There's nothing else that can guarantee that they will be doing the right thing. There will be nothing else that can help them or protect them from crime and wrongdoing. Right? Spiritual inheritance. I hope you bear that in mind. Secondly, the church of Jesus Christ must be kept from falling into the hands of false prophets and their false teachings. So Jude, in his benediction, says this: Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, with glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. I think this is an apt benediction, that we be kept faultless, blameless, until the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my prayer for you, my brethren, that God will keep you. In the next trip, when I come, I'll see you again, and I see you growing, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope to see that more souls are won into the kingdom of God. I know it's challenging to do soul winning in London, right? But I hope in this new year, pray for one person. One, just one. Alright? Be it your family members, be it your neighbor, someone close, maybe a colleague, a classmate. Pray particularly for that one person. Now, if we can do that for that one whole year and win that person to the Lord Jesus Christ, next year there will be twice the number. Now, I also understand that it's easier said than done. I've challenged my church. I've said it every year, okay, beginning of the year. It says, you do this. Right? And then the number remains very much the same. Okay. Were there people added to the church? There were. Or there are. You know, during Easter Sunday and our church anniversary in the month of November, we have many transfer membership, many who takes the step of baptism. But how come the number remains constant? Well, simply because there are people who have left us. Stay on, serve God, do what you can, pray for somebody, And I'm sure God will bless this church. That God will bless you. You will find the joy of the Lord unspeakable. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray that you will bless New Life London. Keep the brethren here faithful to you. You know that there are great temptation and challenges out there. Pray that they will be kept from the world, worldly influence, and also from false teachers. Lord, as they pray and they take this challenge to pray for someone whom they know in particular, that this person may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your mercy and goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.